Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The Army is celebrating its 250th anniversary. President Trump in North Carolina to deliver remarks at Fort Bragg. ABC's Mary Bruce has details.
This is part of his efforts this week to honor and celebrate the 250th anniversary of the Army. But it certainly is an interesting juxtaposition coming just as the president is also sending armed forces in to quell civilian protests on American soil.
The additional National Guard troops and Marines set to arrive in Los Angeles today due to protests over immigration raids. It comes as local law enforcement, LA's mayor and California's governor say the presence of federal troops is not needed or helping with demonstrations. In London, high-level talks continued between the U.S. and China for a second day as the countries try to carve out a trade deal. The World Bank out with its forecast saying President Trump's tariffs could slow economic growth later this year in the U.S. and around the globe. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Housing and Economic Development Authority is accepting applications for grant funding aimed at improving housing and shelter services in the state. The agency opened the grant application process on Thursday for nonprofits and cooperatives that provide emergency shelter services, transitional residence, and extremely low-income housing. Chosen organizations will receive a share of $2 million in grant funding with a maximum award of $50,000. The application can be found online and must be submitted by July 31st. The Eau Claire City County Health Department is among nine clinics in Wisconsin that could lose funding for HIV testing under the Trump administration's proposed budget. In May, the Wisconsin Department of Health Services informed the clinics that the grant funding they had received through the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention had been paused. The clinics received a combined nearly $2 million of that grant funding in the first year of the five-year grant. The second year of grant funding was scheduled to kick in on June 1st. One person was seriously injured in a two-vehicle crash in Barron County on Sunday. Law enforcement authorities say the crash occurred on County Highway P near Almena just before 6 p.m. They say a pickup truck being driven northbound by 26-year-old Oscar Ledesma crossed over the center line and sideswiped a pickup truck going southbound. Ledesma's vehicle then rolled off the road and landed upside down before a fire started. Ledesma was pulled from the vehicle and taken to the hospital with life-threatening injuries. Authorities believe alcohol may have been a factor. A Green Bay man has been charged after allegedly breaking into homes and stealing a vehicle in Barron County. According to court documents, 30-year-old Julian Webster was charged with felony taking and driving a vehicle without consent and misdemeanor criminal trespassing in Barron County Circuit Court last week. Law enforcement authorities say he was arrested on May 14th after allegedly being found intoxicated behind the wheel of the stolen vehicle in Lake Halley. He faces up to 6 years in prison and a $10,000 fine if convicted. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
The Packers move on.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers minicamp is underway. After releasing Jaire Alexander, that leaves them with Keyshawn Nixon and Carrington Valentine at defensive back. Team president Mark Murphy asked how he feels about that.
I feel pretty good. I think Keyshawn Nixon, a great story. He's undrafted. He's an all-pro returner. And, and the reality is, for like the last 4 years, it's about half of the games he's been able to play. So, we've been used to it.
Baseball. The Brewers play the Braves again tonight at AmFam Field. The Crew losing last night 7-1. Basketball. Game 3 of the NBA Finals tomorrow night in Indianapolis. The Thunder beating the Pacers Sunday to tie the series at one game apiece. Oshkosh native Tyrese Halliburton asked about game 2 being more physical with fewer fouls called.
The officials to, let us play a little bit more. So just got to do a better job. How to be better earlier in games.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Mostly sunny and more mild today, with high temperatures flirting with 80 degrees with a light west breeze. It'll be clear tonight, with plenty of sunshine still on tap tomorrow. Highs will climb to the upper 70s, but a small chance of scattered showers in the afternoon, and more storms potentially overnight. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 71 degrees.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself. Surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Matt and Air on Air.
Congressman Mark Pocan is here. Are you planning on going out on the road again? Having a couple more town halls?
Yes. No, Claire, Derek and I have been invited by Opportunity Wisconsin, so I'm really looking forward to debating Derek. My guess is it's more likely I will sprout a head full of hair than he will show up. This is important to let people know what's in this bill, because there is a very good reason why Republicans are hiding from town halls.
Catch Matt and Air on Air at its new time, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, Milwaukee film critic Matt Miller joins me to talk new movies. Then producer, director, editor, and Wisconsinology founder Frank Anderson joins the show. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
From the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Alba Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Alba.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Alba, along with our fantastic producer-engineer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. It is 6 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. Welcome into hour number two of the big program here on this Tuesday, June 10th, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. From the old world headquarters in downtown Madison, some overcast skies, sun peeking through here and there. Still that Canadian wildfire smoke in the air, breathing breath. What do they call it? Health advisories?
Air quality advisory?
That's it. air quality advisory in effect for much of Wisconsin for today. Next, it's going to hang around for a while. So if you say, well, the weather people said it was going to be mostly clear, but it looks hazy. It's not the weather per se. It's the effects of human global warming and the like up in Canada. So be aware of that. Coming up this hour, at the bottom of the hour, this is going to be fun. Brian Van Hooker of Cracked.com has not been on the show for a while. He is back and going to be talking Muppets, the Muppet Show. Da, 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 da. And yes, it was aimed in the start of Sesame Street. Much of that, of course, was aimed at kids. But the Muppet Show, and this was the genius of the Muppets, in my opinion. The Muppet Show, while certainly aimed at kids, they worked in some very, as the kids say today, low-key adult references. They snuck them in. And the Muppets sometimes would hit on the live people guest stars.
And pretty aggressively, it turns out.
And pretty aggressively. And Jim Henson and his crew, they had a little bit of adult humor in them, but they were very careful of how they presented it. So Brian Van Hooker will talk about that. And also, the late, great comedian, actor Rodney Dangerfield will be on the show. No, not really. Yes, we're bringing in we're going to have a seance at the bottom of the show. No, Brian Van Hooker, the best Please Take My Wife jokes by Rodney Dangerfield, as told by Rodney Dangerfield's wife, Joan. So that'll be a heck of a lot of fun. So looking forward to all of that. We'll try to work in a little bit of a newsy headlines along the way as well. But right now at 8 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock, time for What's Worse? Let's go. This or that,
this or that. Then of course, the choice is yours.
You can get with this or you can get with that.
Time once again for What's Worse. Nothing to give away, no prize money involved, but it is your chance to have your voice heard across all 11 news, weather, sports stations of the Civic Media Radio Network. No better place to have your business, your services advertised than right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Contact us at civicmedia.us. to find out how you can be one of our fine sponsors, partners. We would love to work with you. Civicmedia.us. All right, here we go now. And as I told Zommers before the show, I didn't even realize this was a thing. And maybe after this segment, maybe Jane Matinier and Greg Bach on their show Matinier on Air 9 till 11, maybe they'll pick this up and use it and say this should not be a thing.
Maybe. I don't know.
I'm not sure either. So the category today, let's get to it, pizza. Category, what's worse, Chicago-style pizza, which I'm very familiar with, or Detroit-style pizza? What's worse, Chicago-style pizza or Detroit-style pizza? Zommers, as I was talking to Matt Flynn, by the way, many thanks to Matt Flynn for being on the show today in hour number one. As I was having a great discussion, conversation with our friend Matt Flynn, you were busy dialing up some information, Chicago versus Detroit-style pizza. Please share.
Yes, for those of you who are not aware, formerly myself, Chicago-style pizza, which, like Todd, I'm familiar with, is more of a pie, a very high crust
right.
that forms, I guess you could say, if you take a wheel of cheese and hollow it out, kind of like that, you know, a cylinder right. with the inside hollow, put some cheese in there, a whole lot of sauce and your toppings, but usually cheese on the bottom. So deep dish pizza with a lot of sauce is Chicago-style pizza. Now, Detroit-style pizza, also deep dish, very tall, but the bread is thicker and airier. And it also tends to use, at least original Detroit-style pizza, uses, rather than mozzarella, Wisconsin brick cheese.
Really?
And the sauce, instead of being a soup or a pie filling almost, it is applied in what are called racing stripes. They just
really?
Have like strips of sauce in there. So it's a lot more bread and cheese heavy, and Chicago is a lot more sauce heavy.
Saucier.
Much saucier.
The Chicago pizza is saucier. All right. Thank you. Thank you for that work, Zommers. I did not know this. As Johnny Carson once said, I did not know that. Chicago-style pizza or Detroit-style pizza? What's worse? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Or you can text us on the Civic Media app. Or you can talk to us on YouTube or Facebook or wherever. Tony watching on YouTube says thin crust is worse. Not even close. Well, Tony, that's not really an option.
Do you mean Chicago style?
Yeah.
Because it has thinner crust? I'm going to take that as Chicago style unless I hear otherwise.
So the early voting, Tony saying Chicago style pizza is worse. Chicago style pizza or Detroit style pizza? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Or text us on the Civic Media app. Again, as Zommers has told us, the Chicago style pizza is more saucier with the red sauce and whatnot, and you get more bread and cheese with a Detroit style pizza. Brian up in Green Bay, listening on our great station, WBGW. We're going to do this show live from the Green Bay station on Friday. Join us for that. Brian says Chicago-style pizza is worse. All right. Robert in McFarland, listening on WMDX. Baby, why make me choose? I just love pizza. But Detroit is pizza. Chicago is mostly full of Italian meal. I'm going with Detroit.
So
wow.
I think Robert means Chicago-style is worse.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Thank you. Wow, that's he's very, very. I didn't know people really were this passionate about it. What else? We have Mary Ann listening. Oops, sorry. I'm going to go back to Mary Ann McFarland. Chicago style is worse, and I'm a Chicagoan. All right. Conrad up in Green Bay, perhaps our great producer up there. Going to be talking to him maybe on Friday. Going to be helping us out. Of course, Conrad, the producer of the great show, Pete Schwab's Nightlight, every evening from 6
and
until 8.
But it's Conrad's birthday today.
That's right. Happy birthday to Conrad. Conrad says Detroit is worse because pizza. Where are you going, Zommers? You can't go back up.
There's a lot of text. Sorry.
I know. Detroit is worse because pizza always comes down to how good the sauce is. Chicago always has that good sauce. Conrad, I think I'm with you. Again, happy birthday, Conrad. Celebrating his 19th birthday today.
I don't think that's accurate.
But he's just a young, cool dude. All right. AJ in Madison on WMDX says they both suck. Just make a normal pizza. Well, AJ, what's a normal pizza to you? Mary Ann McFarland says, I grew up on the south side of Chicago. and we loved thin crust. All right, there you go. Brian in Green Bay on WGBW. When you come up to Green Bay, try Jet's Pizza. It's Detroit style. Oh, great. Well, maybe that's what I'll do. Maybe, well, but Conrad said he likes Chicago better. I was going to say I could order a Detroit-style pizza at Jet's for Schwabba and Conrad.
Save me a slice. We'll see if it keeps over the weekend.
Matt Richland's tenor, one of our great UPS drivers, listening to WRCE. Detroit style is worse, but New York style...
Craps.
Craps on both of them. If you can't hold and fold, it's not real pizza. There's a New York guy right there. What else we have? Greg at Genesee Depot, Chicago pizza is worse. Let's go to the phone lines, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Jim in beautiful Brookfield. Jim, I was just through Brookfield. Going to the Brewers game on Sunday. Jim, what's worse, Chicago-style pizza or Detroit-style pizza?
They're both very good, and Chicago is like a pie, truly like a pie, and I agree with Conrad, that sauce is delicious. However, if I had a pick, I'd say Chicago's worse. I like Detroit because their crust is more airy and flaky. Oh. It's not that thick and doughy, and it's known to have that airy crust, but also for baking, you know, making it crispy, the topping, the cheese and the toppings up around, especially around the edges. Mm-hmm. I like a crispy topping with an airy crust. Even though Chicago, like I say, it's a big slice of pie and a really good sauce, but I'd have to take the crispiness anytime.
I appreciate the Jim. This is fantastic. I appreciate the education and shout out to the graphics folks here at the show, because the graphic that they have on this on the screen nailed what Jim just said. The toppings are more crispy and crunchy. The crust is more crispy and crunchy than a Chicago style pizza. So thanks for the education, Jim. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842, Chicago-style pizza or Detroit-style pizza. What's worse? Hang on, Zomers. Our very own Jane Matt Nair, God love her, host of the Jane Matt Nair show every morning from 9 until 11, listening in. She has texted me on the bat line. All the hosts have a bat line where we can just call each other. She says, this shouldn't be a question. All pizza is good pizza, except for anchovies. I'm with you on that, Jane. Minnow-free pizza for me. Yes, Jane. That's how they make it. They just go to the local bait shop and get some minnows and put on the pizza. Jane and I are getting ready to go back on the road with Greg if travel is approved.
You got to get different kinds of pizza.
And maybe we'll eat our way through Wisconsin. Maybe that'll be part of the little tour we're planning. Maybe we'll stop at different pizza shops. What do you think, Jane? Where just see who has the best pizza in Wisconsin. What do you have, Zomers?
Yes. I forgot one note about the differences between the two pizzas that some people might find important and others won't care at all. Chicago-style pizza tends to be circular. Detroit-style pizza tends to be rectangular.
Oh, that's another important point. Chris, listening in beautiful Janesville, Wisconsin, the WMDX, says Giordano's in Chicago is the best. All right. I love these recommendations. Anybody else against Stephen Lodi? Detroit style is worse. I guess that means Chicago is worse. All right. Very good. There's a battle between AJ and Ryan, by the way, on the text line on pizzas here. I think the big takeaway for me in this segment is that I have been educated, because I did not know until right now this segment of the true differences between Chicago and Detroit style.
And neither did I.
I don't know that I've ever really had a true Detroit style pizza before.
I don't think I have either, but it sounds really good.
It does.
Especially the way Jim and Brookfield described it with, you know, the airy, doughy, or not doughy, the airy, flakier crust, but with the crispiness that I crave.
Well, I know where I'm going on Friday in Green Bay when I'm up at GBW, a little Jets pizza and try Chicago style. But I'm going to have to buy Conrad a Chicago style pizza for his birthday. I'll take the Detroit style at Jets. Maybe Jets will do both.
Maybe they'll do half and half.
Look, I don't think you can do half and half.
I don't think that's possible.
But, oh, here's a Sue in Franklin. Says wild tomato pizza in Door County is really good. All right. Very good. Love all the suggestions. That's our Zomers. I guess when we come back, we'll wrap it up, give our takes of what's worse and a couple of news headlines. And then we're talking Muppets who hit on humans at the bottom of the hour. Don't go anywhere. It's a Tuesday edition of the Todd Allbowl Show across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matinee on Air.
Here's to experiencing it all this summer in Wisconsin. Every deliciously cheesy, rockin', magical, fireworks-filled, festival-loving moment. There's Cheese Curd Fest in Ellsworth, Strawberry Fest in Cedarburg, Festival of the Arts in Stevens Point, and the Renaissance Fair in Bristol. Honor the Earth Pow Wow in Hayward, Mile of Music in Appleton, Venetian Fest, Rock Fest, Summer Fest. So many fests for your whole crew. Find them all at TravelWisconsin.com. Sponsored by Travel Wisconsin.
Summer. It's our Scotty Summer statewide text to win contest on your local Civic Media radio station. For a complete list of contest rules, log on civicmedia.us/contest-terms. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
All right, time to visit with Melissa Baldoff as we talk climate issues. Acting FEMA chief told staff he didn't know about U.S. hurricane seasons.
What?
Speechless too.
I mean,
I love it. We're all just sitting here like, what?
If it is a joke, and I don't know that it is, it's not a funny one. We've seen more deadly hurricanes, so we have every reason to expect it will be a bad hurricane season.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Carmelo Anthony for the Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presume innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Matt and Air on Air.
Rick Reed is here, an economics instructor.
Remember the song, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles? A driver is riding parallel to him and honking their horn saying, you're going the wrong way. And Candy and Steve Martin go, ha, 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 how do they know where we're headed? Congress and the administration are saying, this is what we're going to do for our budget. But at the end of the day, the Congressional Budget Office basically said that bill is going to create another $3.8 trillion in debt over the next 10 years.
Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead. And having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allbowl Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 22 minutes now past the hour of 3 o'clock on Tuesday, June 10th. Wrapping up today's edition of What's Worse, Chicago-style pizza or Detroit-style pizza. Caller texted in says both are delicious. Two different beasts. Chicago crust is made with cornmeal and laminated with butter. Detroit-style crust is more traditional, but pushes those cubes of brick cheese and mozzarella to make those little black crispy bits. Wow. Goes on to say, make them both and love them equally. Now, there is a connoisseur of pizza. That's fantastic. Zomer's Chicago or Detroit-style pizza? What's worse?
See, I am going to have to go with Chicago-style being worse. Not because it's bad by any stretch of the imagination. I agree. Most, if not all, pizza is good pizza. And I think when done well, both of these styles are amazing. But I think that when done poorly, Chicago style becomes soup. And when done poorly, Detroit style is just kind of mediocre. So I'm going to say that Chicago style is worse because it has the potential to be far worse.
I like the fact that you had really good rationale for that. It wasn't just a cheap shot. That was actually very, very good. I was going to agree with our friend Gene Matinier that the question shouldn't be a thing because all pizza is good. But the way that you put that, that's a hard argument for me to go against. So I'll agree with you. If I had to choose one today, based on what Zomer said, a poorly prepared Chicago pizza may in fact be worse. But really, in effect, all pizza is great.
Radio host destroyed with facts and logic. No, I'm kidding.
We're going to have Brian Van Hooker here on after the break, talking some goofy nonsense about Muppets and Rodney Dangerfield. But I want to get back to a couple of things here in the few minutes we have left in this half hour. Elizabeth Warren, U.S. Senator Elizabeth Warren, had four really great points about being distracted. Not that things in L.A. aren't important right now, Los Angeles, but that we can't lose sight of what's important in D.C. And she lists four what she calls dangerous provisions in Trump's reconciliation bill right now, such as defunding Planned Parenthood, which I talked about on with Jane and Greg on Matt and Aaron Air this morning. Also slashing taxes and restriction on purchasing gun silencers, making it easier for criminals to gain access to them and ensuring our society is less safe. Number three, barring states from regulating artificial intelligence. Number four, stopping courts from holding Trump officials in contempt for ignoring court orders, gutting their ability to ensure Trump follows the law. I think those are important things. We're going to talk more about those as the week progresses, but I think it's important not to lose sight of what's happening on the East Coast of this country as well. I want to play this, came across this cut, because again, I think that too often we, it's on television, whatever. It becomes a game almost. And this is a really good reminder that there are real people's lives being affected in Los Angeles. Here is the superintendent of the Los Angeles Public School District holding a press conference yesterday on what this situation in Los Angeles means to him.
I want to confess to you, for those of you who may not know, I would be a hypocrite if I did not fight for those who today are facing conditions that over 40 years I faced as an undocumented migrant to this country. I want to repeat that. I would be the biggest hypocrite in the world, regardless of my position today, if today I did not fight for those who find themselves in the same predicament I faced over 40 years ago when I arrived in this country at the age of 17 as an undocumented immigrant. Education made me and saved me. I became a teacher, a principal, a superintendent leading the nation's largest districts, four times selected as National Superintendent of the Year. Do not underestimate the power of the immigrant child who may very well become an adult who does well and good by America. If I come across with a certain degree of contempt and anger, I am, because Monday, actions were taken in this community that have no place in our city, in our state, or across America. I'm still mystified as to how a first, second, third, fourth, or sixth grader would pose any type of risk to the national security of our nation that would require Homeland Security to deploy its agents to two elementary schools.
Los Angeles Unified School District Superintendent Alberto M. Calvero, which I thought was the most poignant thing I've heard about this entire situation so far, saying, look, I was one of those undocumented kids. And because I was given a chance in this country and because I received a public education, I'm now leading the education in Los Angeles as a citizen. And why in God's name is the federal government of this country targeting grade school kids? Trump promised to go after, in his words, the murderers and rapists, unquote. There's no justification for going after kids. It's cruel and unusual punishment. And these kids in LA are the pawns for Trump's political relevance. And God bless Alberto Calvero for calling that out in a calm way, respectful way, but poignant way. We need more leaders like that in this country. So spare me the indignation and name calling by people in this country, in this state, that just want to classify everybody of a certain skin color or origin as, well, they're the bad people. Alberto Calvero is proof that when given a chance, regardless of where you are born, you can make something and contribute. Back after this is the Oddball Show in Civic Media.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Live cattle and feeder cattle markets are showing some impressive strength. Consumers might not be feeling the full pinch at the meat counter just yet. I'm Charity Seebecker for the Midwest Farm Report. And John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, explains what's driving these price gains, how ground beef prices are holding steady thanks to imports, and what producers should watch for next.
We have become very big importers in terms of beef from Brazil and Australia. Record levels of beef coming in from those two countries. Now, where's that coming into play? That is lower quality beef than that we produce here in terms of the cattle that we're running through into the packers. So that goes into the trim, the ground beef, things of that nature. And that's one of the reasons why you see ground beef prices kind of been holding relatively steady, even though we're seeing beef prices overall being stronger.
Once again, that's John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing. I'll have a look at your closing markets right after this.
Giving back, it's at the heart of the Wisconsin farmer, and it starts with supporting the backbones of our community. That's why the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board invests in soy foam for our firefighters. Soy foam TF1122 is the first and only firefighting foam green screen certified at the gold level. As a PFAS-free firefighting foam, it's safe for you and the environment. A safe future for your community. Thanks to your soy checkoff. Learn more at wisoybean.org.
When hot weather strikes your cattle, milk production drops and feed intakes decrease. Summer heat also impacts the quality of your herd's reproduction. Protect your cows and grow your bottom line. Add BioVet's Bovine Gold Light to your cow's daily ration. Bovine Gold Light keeps the herd hydrated, maintains milk production, and keeps your breeding program in check. Learn more about Bovine Gold Light at bio-vet.com.
Innovation.
I'm Charity Seebecker for the Midwest Farm Report with a look at your closing markets. Cash corn closed at 4.38¾. That was up 5¼ cents. New crop corn closed at 4.40, and that was up 2 cents. Cash beans closed at 10.57¾. That was up 1¾. And new crop beans closed at 10.31¼, and that was up a half. And July wheat closed at 5.34½. And that was down 7½ cents. On the dairy side of things now, July Class 3 milk contract is trading at 1850 a hundredweight. That is down 32 cents. And August Class 3 milk contract is trading at 1906 a hundredweight. And that is down 27 cents. 40-pound block cheese had no change and closed today at 188. And the AA butter closed down 4½ cents and closed today at 250½. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy and milder tonight with a low in the upper 50s. For Wednesday, increasing clouds, chance of showers in the afternoon and evening. High in the mid-70s. Shower chances continue on Thursday. With more clouds, cooler highs in the low 70s. Currently at 72 degrees.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on Air.
State Representative Christian Phelps.
As somebody who's in my first term in the legislature, one of the striking things is how seldom the majority party speaks with us. I don't know how many of my colleagues personally feel LGBTQ people don't deserve freedom, but that's kind of irrelevant at the end of the day. They've already spent a number of days attacking trans people because those are days they don't have to spend defending their very unpopular economic agenda.
Matt Nair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
On Wednesday, our weekly visits with Civic Media friends Earl Ingram in Milwaukee, Todd Alba in Madison, Melissa Kay in Wisconsin Rapids, and James Kelly in Chippewa Falls.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
The Todd Alba Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 35 minutes now past the hour of 3 o'clock. That is the iconic open of the long-running Muppet Show. Correct me if I'm wrong. I believe it was on ABC, if I remember right, although I could be wrong. But for those of us of a certain age who grew up on the Muppets, first on Sesame Street and then on the Muppet Show and then in the subsequent Muppet movies, nothing better than the Muppets. And they were created in large part by Jim Henson, of course, the late, great Jim Henson, who was taken all too soon by cancer. But the iconic, the legacy of the Muppets lives on. And so Brian Van Hooker, the talented person that he is, has written a couple of articles in Cracked.com, one entitled 10 Times the Muppet Show Hosts Were Relentlessly Hit On by the Puppets. And this, as we said earlier in the show, this is one of those things where it was predominantly for kids. Of course, lots of great lessons learned for kids on Sesame Street. But once they transferred over into prime time, it was still a lot of it aimed at kids. But they were so, the writers were so great, and Jim Henson and Frank Oz and the other puppeteers were so talented at ad-libbing that they would kind of throw in little lines now and again that would go over the kid's head, but the adults got. And it was really, really funny. And part of the funniness of it was that they never said the really overt, dirty joke. It was just the insinuation that only an adult would get. And it was so well done that it made it really, really super funny. Zomers, you're too young to remember, you said, but you've seen the Muppets, obviously, but you were born after the show aired.
Yeah, I've still gone back and watched some, but I should watch more because what I have seen is really good. It's just,
yeah, it's really fantastic. We're expecting Brian Van Hooker from Cracked.com to make an appearance. He could be tied up. He could be tied up. So we'll vamp for a little
Hopefully
while.
Not literally.
Wouldn't that be something? Would that be something if he was literally tied up somewhere inside the literally media headquarters somewhere? But no, for my money, lots of times Miss Piggy, who was actually portrayed, I guess, or the puppeteer was Frank Oz, the same puppeteer that did Yoda.
An absolute legend.
Yes. And he's still going.
I don't think so. Hold on.
Frank Oz? I thought he was still alive.
I'm pretty sure he's dead. Let me look.
No. All right, here's a live edition of Dead or Alive.
No, he's alive.
Thank
I am
you.
A fool.
Thank you.
I don't know why I thought he was dead.
No, because, I mean, well, it's been a while since the last Star Wars movie came out, but he was still doing Yoda in the last Star Wars movie, that sort of thing. So he has to be, like, maybe in his 80s, you think? 80-ish?
Yeah, he is 81.
There you go. Pretty close. Frank Oz, the great puppeteer, and I would call him an actor, quite frankly, with everything that he does. So so Miss Piggy, she was pretty sultry in some of her things. Fozzie Bear also, I think, done by Frank Oz, would also get a couple of zingers in there. And occasionally, even though Kermit was kind of the clean-cut Muppet, occasionally he would get one in there as well. And then, of course, you got the band, who, you know, the bands are always a little raunchy. And the Muppet, the band would always get, was it Dr. Electric, I think, was the...
I think that sounds right.
Was the band leader there.
And, of course, Animal.
Animal the
crazy.
Drummer. He gets a little crazy as well. So the Muppets oftentimes do get a little sultry there. Well, we're why don't we just jump into this and we'll see if Mr. Van Hooker, there could have been a terrible, terrible mix-up. I don't think there was, but we hope everything is okay. Let's jump into this at number 10, according to Cracked Magazine, cracked.com. Number 10, where best episode or segment where a Muppet hit on a human, because that was the bit. If you don't remember the show, the Muppets were puppets, but they called Muppets, and then they would have a live person, a real person, be the guest host of the show. And so the live person would interact with the Muppets. So now, number 10... Raquel Welch. Kermit introduces Welch as, quote, one of the sexiest ladies alive, unquote.
You want to hear it?
Oh, can we hear it? All right, here we go. Here's Kermit introducing Raquel Welch.
Ladies and particularly gentlemen, here she is, the curvaceous, the tantalizing, the desirable.
Hold it, Chief.
What now?
She's changing her image.
Changing her image?
Yeah, she was just rehearsing Shakespeare.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, one of cinema's leading dramatic actresses, the very erudite Miss Raquel Welch.
Changes it a little bit. As the thing went on, said Welch, however, seems much more interested in Fozzie the Bear, who she rubs up and down singing Confide in Me. She also called Fozzie sexy and sexational. Before asking him to come up to her dressing room. And those things, I mean, they were kind of said quickly and as an aside. And so it went over the kids' head. But the adults, the moms and dads who were in the room watching, that's why I think adults love the show.
Or even if it didn't go over the kids' head, it was, I guess, I feel like it's not that bad. You know, they're not describing anything specific.
No.
It's just like, oh, you hot little bear puppy.
Right. No, it's all done in, it's all done in fun and jest. All right, so number 9, according to Crack.com, best additions where a Muppet hit on a human was, remember this, they used to have a spinoff of Star Trek, or not a spinoff, but a take on Star Trek, and the entire crew of this ship were pigs. It was called Pigs in Space. And Miss Piggy was part of this, of course. The Swine Trek captain was named Link Hogthrob. Do we have audio for this one? All right, here we go. Here's an edition of Pigs in Space with Swine Trek camp captain Link Hogthrob.
Aren't you Link Hogthrob?
I'm one of the stars of the show here. Perhaps you've admired me from afar.
Oh. Well, I'd really rather admire you from near.
What?
Maybe while we dance?
Oh, well, actually, I'm not much of a dancer, and tonight's my night to go bowling.
Is this the last dance?
It is?
Last dance.
That was Leslie Ann Warren, who I hadn't heard from a long. Now, she might be have passed. I don't know, but that was a great bit. Was the Pigs in Space? That was a lot of fun. Going through the top 10 episodes of the Muppet Show where Muppets hit on a human guest host, according to Cracked.com. Number 8, the leader of the pack, Kermit, and the great Linda Ronstadt. With Linda Ronstadt hosted and Kermit buys her flowers. Here we go.
This does not have the part where I call her flowers, but later on.
All right, very good.
We'll talk about that later, Miss Piggy.
Oh, Kermit, thanks for singing the song for me, even though I know your heart still belongs to Piggy.
Well, you may know that, and Piggy may know that, but the vote's not in yet from the frog.
the post not in yet from the frog, and later on calls her a foxy lady, quote unquote. Again, this was the '80s, right? Where, you know, calling somebody a foxy lady, that was pretty provocative, especially for a Muppet.
And at which point Miss Piggy gets so jealous, she locks him in a trunk for most of the rest of the show. Yes.
Speaking of Miss Piggy, at number 7, according to Crack.com, Miss Piggy and the incomparable Roger Moore, who played 007 for a long time, says usually all the flirting in the Muppet Show is welcome, but when James Bond actor Moore hosts, that simply is not the case. Early in the show, Miss Piggy corners Moore and fawns over him while singing On a Slow Boat to China, as he squirms with discomfort and argues that they simply are not meant for each other. And then Miss Piggy insists we can make it work. And then, again, whether or not the actors were always, I don't think they always were in on the bit. That's part of what made it magical, is that the puppeteers would ad lib and put these real humans into kind of uncomfortable places. Here we go.
Roger, silly dear Roger, it can work. Roger, we can make it work, yes.
But I don't want to make it work.
I love to get you on a slow boat to China.
He's looking very disturbed. And she's just leaning all over him.
Maybe my date will be here any second.
Myself,
the incomparable Miss Piggy, along with Roger Moore there, Slow Boat to China, going through the top 10 scenes of the Muppet Show where Muppets have hit on humans, according to Cracked.com. Remember the Brady Bunch, those of us of a certain age, grew up on the Brady Bunch or the reruns thereof on places like TNT or whatnot. The great Florence Henderson, a great actor in her own right, did a bunch of Wesson oil commercials, lots of infomercials late in her life. Anyway, played the mom on the Brady Bunch. She was a guest a few times on the Muppet Show. And in one episode, the lovable monster Sweetums tells the Brady Bunch's Henderson that he could really fall for her before he literally falls. Here we go.
Although this clip is from the next part where Kermit is hitting on her so much during an interview that Miss Piggy bites her.
Here we go.
Your eyes are like two limpid pools.
Oh, that's very sweet, Kermit.
And when I look into your eyes, I'm spellbound. Oh. And when I look into those eyes, I see...
Come on, tell me what you see.
I see trouble.
While the pig's away, the frog will play.
Hi, Piggy.
Don't hi, Piggy, me, you frog stealer.
Piggy, you have it all wrong there, you see.
In a pig's eye. In a person's eye.
Yes, you do have it wrong, Piggy.
Oh?
Yes, Kermit was just practicing on me what he really wants to say to you.
What?
Oh, you mean it?
No.
Oh, Kermit. My love. My love. My life. I am like putty in your hands. Putty.
Miss Piggy, along with Kermit there. And that was with Florence Henderson. And that was always one of the ongoing bits, is that Miss Piggy was desperately in love with Kermit, and he was not so taken with her. It was more of a friendship of convenience that he put up with for a number of years.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, let's do one more here before the break. This is the top 10, according to Cracked.com, episodes where a Muppet hit on a human. Gonzo, one of my favorite Muppets of all time. While Animal, it says, is probably the horniest Muppet, Gonzo is a close second. Not only is he really into dating chickens, but he also has a crush on Miss Piggy early on in the series. However, he gives that up when the great Madeline Kahn shows up. He proposes to her just minutes after they met. Shockingly, he declines. We're going to come back and do that after the break, obviously, here. The music is upon us. It's the Todd Oddball Show for a Tuesday. Don't go anywhere. We'll come back and finish up with Pigs in Space and Other Muppets on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey,
as Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Why'd I go to the doctor? One day at the firehouse, I was so lightheaded I could barely stand. Even my crew noticed. Getting checked out was the right call. Turns out I have atrial fibrillation, which increases the risk of stroke about 5 times.
Symptoms like irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, shortness of breath, fatigue, or lightheadedness can come and go. But if it's AFib, the risk of stroke remains. If you have symptoms, contact a doctor.
I'm so glad I did.
Visit notimetowait.com, sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
This fall, build your perfect Wisconsin football game day with a mini pack. Pick any 3 games, including Big Ten matchups like Washington, Iowa, and Ohio State, and save while cheering on the Badgers. Big matchups, big moments, and it's all on your schedule. Football mini packs are available now. Create your custom game day experience today at uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. First touchdown to the fifth quarter. There's always something to enjoy. Football game day starts here. We'll see you at Camp Randall.
It's June Dairy Month, and though more than 5 million people call Wisconsin home, we share our state with close to 1.5 million cows. Those beautiful animals. Okay, I grew up on a dairy farm outside of Green Bay. They've been here since before we became a state. Can you answer this? Most of our cow's milk currently makes which product? Is it butter, cheese, or ice cream? The answer coming up. Wisconsin's first official milk plant. 1894 in the Waupun area of Fond du Lac County. Fast forward more than 120 years, now farmer-owned with a second location in the Outagamie County village of Black Creek, the Saputo plant is even featured on History Channel's Modern Marvels for its award-winning cheesemaking. So did you guess? Most of our cow's milk, 90% of it currently makes cheese. Gouda for you. Celebrating our dairy farmers with this slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
This is for people who watched me anchoring the news at Channel 13. My last day at TV 13 was 20 years ago yesterday.
Oh, I'm old now too.
Well, yeah, that was my whole point.
And I was too when you stopped working at TV.
That's what I get all the time now is people come up and they go, oh, were you on TV? I'm like, yeah. And then I go, don't say it. I watched you when I was a little kid. I'm like, yikes.
Catch Mornings with Pat Kreitlow at its new time, weekdays 6 to 9 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 8 minutes before the hour of 4 o'clock at the top of the hour. ABC or CBS News, depending upon which of our great stations you're listening to. After that, a weather update, sports with our great Mike Clemens, sports reporter, and then the Maggie Dawn Show. And I believe today, filling in for Maggie Dawn, is the founder of the Recombobulation Area and the political editor of Civic Media, our very own recombobulationist, Mr. Dan Schaefer. Dan Schaefer, who is filling in for Maggie Dawn, who was filling in for Dan Schaefer, who was filling in for John and Gordy, the morning show guys, who are filling in for Maggie Dawn.
Yes, the circle is complete again.
Yes.
He is also joined by Angela Lang and Matt Rothschild. It's a trifecta.
It's a star-studded show. We should just get off the air right now and make way for them because I think that Dan Schaefer is going to, as Bob Schieffer likes to say, break a little news. Break a little news. Dan Schaefer is coming up. So you don't want to miss it. Dan Schaefer has a great take on Wisconsin politics. Stay tuned for that. And then after the Dan Schaefer show, it's going to be Nightlight with Pete Schwab.
I wonder if they're doing anything fun for Conrad's birthday.
I bet they are.
You'll have to listen to find out.
Absolutely, indeed. So here's some breaking news before we get back to this Muppet nonsense. This apparently is real. And as I like to say, I like to quote Mike Lucas, timely, timely indeed, particularly this month. Aaron Rodgers announces marriage, Dateline Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Pittsburgh Steeler QB Aaron Rodgers got married to more than one thing this offseason, not the game. Rodgers confirmed at a press conference he has been married for 2 months. Previously, it was reported that he was engaged to actress Shailene Woodley, but later called off the engagement in 2022. Before that, he dated actress Olivia Munn from 2014 to 2017. Rodgers announced on the Pat McAfee show back in December last year that he was dating a woman named Brittany. He signed with the Steelers on June 6th for just over $13 million. Fascinating. That's all I'll say. Fascinating. 855-752-4842. Let's go to the phone lines here. We have Greg from Waukesha. Greg, we're talking about the top 10 scenes of The Muppet Show, according to Crack.com, where humans have hit, or pardon me, where Muppets have hit on humans. What do you got?
Well, I don't necessarily have anything about that, but I did have a friend in high school whose parents named him Gonzo. And yes, no. God, that was his real name.
The only place I've ever heard that name used, there used to be an old drama on, it was called Trapper John M.D., which was based loosely on the old MASH series, and it followed Trapper John McIntyre later in life. And one of the doctors on there were nicknamed Gonzo. But this...
No, this was his real name.
Really?
Yes.
That is fascinating. All right, well, thanks, Greg. I appreciate that. Thanks for listening.
Keep banging that drum, Todd.
Hey, thank you, Greg. I appreciate your listenership down there on WAUK in Waukesha. Well, again, our next clip here, speaking of Gonzo, we set it up for you before the break. It is when the great Madeline Kahn, who was on the show a number of times, was there, and Gonzo, a horny Muppet that he was or is, he decided he wanted to marry Ms. Kahn, and he talked to Kermit about it. Here we go.
Kermit, how do I look?
Very nice, Gonzo. What's the big occasion?
Madeline Kahn and I are getting married.
Married?
Yeah, moving out to the suburbs, buying a station wagon, joining the PTA.
He has
the
not
whole
asked her.
Ball of wax.
Gonzo, you just met Madeline Kahn.
I know. I work fast, Kermit.
I mean, that could have been Aaron Rodgers, apparently. I'm not sure. All right, let's get one more here. This is Animal, the drummer of the band for The Muppet Show, and Rita Moreno on the show. Here's
for this one, there's not much to hear.
Oh, really?
I recommend looking it up. Basically, Rita Moreno is singing, Animal's playing the drums. They're doing a song, and I never thought I would use this to describe a Muppet, but the sexual tension between her and Animal is very palpable if you're watching the scene. At one point, she saunters back over to him on the drums and just starts talking to him, and it's just like, calm down, dude. You're going too crazy.
All right. Yeah. So that's more of a visual one. Should we just skip to number one? Do we have video or audio for this? This is when Kermit interacted with Juliet Prowse was on the show in apparently the very first episode ever shot for the series, when dancer actress Prowse hosts the show. And, here we go.
Well, let's just face it, Julie. You know, your average frog doesn't have a lot going for him in the looks department.
Oh, I don't know. I think you're quite attractive.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
You're not just saying that because you're a guest.
Well, certainly not. In fact, I'd go as far as to say that you are the Robert Redford of frogs.
Oh, wow. Hey, listen, everybody. Did you hear that? Juliet Prowse thinks I'm the Robert Redford of frogs. Hey, you're going to be coming back on this show a lot. Hey, listen, have you ever kissed Robert Redford?
No, I haven't.
How about kissing the next best thing?
You mean to tell me that Paul Newman is here?
I mean me, the Robert Redford of frogdom.
My pleasure.
Ooh. More, less.
the old men up on the balcony. More, more, less, less. That was great. That was great. Always a good time when we thank the folks at crack.com. We'll get Brian Van Hooker back on when our schedules line up more. Many thanks to Matt Flynn for being on the show today. Also, Mr. Zommers tomorrow. Going to have Trigby Olson, Pat Kreitlow, and Dan Schaefer is going to be on the show talking about the news he is about to break. So don't go anywhere. Dan Schaefer and Angela Lang and Matt Rothschild are next. You're not going to want to miss it. Whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, do not give up. Keep banging on your drum. We'll see you tomorrow. Keep banging on your drum. Keep banging on, and your day will come. Keep banging on your drum, and they will hear you.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. A major shift at the CDC could impact the types of vaccines Americans receive. Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. terminated all 17 members of the independent advisory panel that makes recommendations on vaccines. ABC's Steve Osunsami says Kennedy says he'll replace them with his picks. That's created a walkout at CDC headquarters in Atlanta.
We talked to a group of some of these employees. Some of them were retirees who decided to leave the agency because they saw what was happening. And they're concerned about what this means to the American public, and also tell us they're concerned about who replaces these individuals.
California's Governor Gavin Newsom has filed an emergency order asking a federal judge to intervene and stop federal troops from deploying. President Trump mobilized those federal troops to help with unrest over immigration raids in the city. The president in North Carolina this hour, he'll deliver remarks at Fort Bragg Army Base celebrating the Army's 250th anniversary. This is ABC News.